Welcome, 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 everybody, back to the Trans Lesson Plan, your go-to podcast for transgender history, ladies, gents, theys, and thems, and of course, any other pronouns that you decide that you would like to use. We are in season three. It's a good feeling, honestly, to make it to season three, primarily because I enjoy doing this podcast and I love the feedback that I've been getting about it. So first, I'd like to shout out any newcomers to this podcast. It is a pleasure to have you here. I hope you love today's episode. You can also check out our previous episodes from season one and season two available right now on whatever streaming platform you're obviously listening from. If you're a returnee, thank you so much for supporting the podcast. If it wasn't for you, honestly, I wouldn't continue doing this, but I also do love doing this too, so I might still have anyways. For those who are new, my name is Mari. I am a Black transgender man who studies transgender history. I teach it too as well. So if you want to learn a little bit more about me, you can find out more about me in episodes one, in season one and season two. If you're new here, our podcasts are very concise yet comprehensive. So today's topic is going to be about Columbia University, the Student Homophile League. So I want to dive directly into that and why it was a significant part of not only LGBTQ plus history, but also how it impacted the transgender community as well. So the Student Homophile League, which was the precursor to today's wide range of LGBTQ plus student groups, was founded at Columbia University way back in 1967. It holds the distinction of being one of the first collegiate gay rights groups in the United States. To say its impact has been monumental will really be an understatement, in my opinion. At a time when homosexuality was still classified as a mental illness, the Student Homophile League was a brave and vocal advocate for the rights and acceptance of gay and lesbian students. Its influence, however, was not confined to the university's campus. The league played a significant role in the wider gay rights movement, shifting public opinion and laying the groundwork for the progress that we see today in the fight for equality. But let's dive deeper into an area that's often overlooked, right? And it's the impact on the transgender community. And of course, the Trans Lesson Plan is the title for this podcast. So we got to talk about that primarily and mainly anyway, too, as well. But the league's advocacy for acceptance and equality was not exclusive to gay and lesbian individuals. It extended its welcoming and supportive arms to all members of the LGBTQ plus community, including those who identified as transgender. At a time when discussion around transgender rights was almost non-existent, the league provided a safe space for transgender students to express themselves freely and openly. So the Student Homophile League was also instrumental in pushing the broader societal acceptance of transgender individuals, and its members boldly took a stand against discriminatory policies and practices that affected transgender individuals both on campus and also in the wider community as well. And by doing so, they increased visibility and recognition of the transgender community, contributing in a significant way to the advancement of transgender rights. So through its tireless efforts, the Student Homophile League at Columbia University has had a profound impact on the transgender community. During a time of widespread discrimination, it stood tall as a beacon of acceptance and advocacy, and its influence continues to resonate even today. So just as a small highlight, you know, for those who are new, I like to always talk about key points in this and basically what we should all gather out of any topic that I'm discussing today. So the Student Homophile League established right in 1967, it holds an important place in history. as one of the pioneering collegiate gay rights groups in the United States, marking the early efforts to create safe spaces for LGBTQ plus students within academic institutions. Most of us, including myself, maybe not even most, I apologize in advance for saying that, but a few of us have been to college, and I personally have been to a LGBTQ plus center. I've been in a few groups as well. And being able to be in these spaces literally makes anyone as a student there feel safe. Obviously, I can't speak for everyone's experience. I can only speak for mine. But when I attended Kennesaw State University, I was new. I was a junior transfer from another university. And the first place that I went to feel like myself and feel home was the LGBTQ plus center when I was having classes on campus. I know someone who worked there during the time of when it was kind of like an admin role when they worked there. And I remember them having a ton of support groups, a ton of just like basic meetups and of course events. And there are, I believe it's called like a path that you could take, and you know, they give you like a certificate and stuff like that to showcase to you all the different communities within the organization. My experience at Kennesaw State and their LGBTQ plus center was definitely a breath of fresh air. Now I'm hoping for those who did attend college and did attend a LGBTQ plus center and or a group, if you were in high school, my high school also had a like LGBTQ plus after school program. At the time I wasn't out, so I didn't go, but if I could go back to the time of when I attended Shaker Heights, I would definitely go back and join that group to be in a space that I knew I wanted to be in from the beginning. So a lot of times, a lot of people don't really tell people about these groups because they feel as though they might not fit in or it might not be worth it. I highly recommend, whether you're in high school or in college, to go to these LGBTQ plus centers. They offer a ton of information. You meet a lot of amazing people there. And I feel like you grow too as well. I feel like going to that center allowed me to grow and learn more than I thought I would before I went. So highly recommend. Another thing that I think about as a key point in this is, despite prevailing societal norms and prejudice, the league had boldly championed the rights and acceptance of gay, lesbian, and transgender students. And this was a time, if you think about it, when homosexuality was still classified as a mental illness, right? Indicating the extent of the discrimination that these students have faced. So we might not know everything. And I can actually maybe do a little bit more research and put that on as like a exclusive episode later. But I can promise you that if you think about it in the 1960s, what these students could have faced just for being part of the community, right? Another thing is that the league had a significant influence on the wider gay rights movement, and it played an instrumental role of shifting public opinion towards a more accepting stance, and its efforts have significantly contributed to the progress we see in the present time, and their work laid the groundwork for the journey towards equality that we continue today. Something else that came to mind for me is that the League's advocacy wasn't limited to gay and lesbian individuals. In an era when transgender rights was largely ignored, the League extended its support to transgender community as well. And it provided a safe and welcoming environment for transgender students to express themselves freely without the fear of judgment, which is very key, in my opinion, that I always say that the community should stick together. I know that there will be times where you'll have outliers of people who don't want to help others. But I think the league's advocacy and not having that limitation to just, you know, two sexual orientations and doing what they could best to make transgender students feel welcome and free is amazing. Something else I thought about was that the league had also fought against discriminatory policies and practices that affected transgender individuals. Now, we see that a little bit more in today's times. I still do client work, like consulting work on the side. And I have to always reiterate that you all have to have policies that also come into place, not only for gay and lesbian individuals, but also transgender individuals as well. And I think most often they forget that. It doesn't matter, in my opinion, if you have, you do or you don't have transgender employees. You never know somebody's story outside of work. So sometimes those small wins of policy changes makes a huge difference to a company. So I often like to talk about that because a lot of people aren't aware. With that, it not only raises awareness, but it also makes someone feel like themselves at work. To continue on, though, it not only raised awareness on campus, but also in the wider community, of course, increasing visibility and recognition of the transgender community. And these actions played a crucial role in advancing transgender rights moving forward, right? And then lastly, the Student Homophile League's legacy continues to actually echo today's world, little do we know, right? Its influence is seen in the acceptance and rights that LGBTQ plus individuals enjoy today. Please. The courage and resilience exhibited by the members of the league underline its importance in LGBTQ plus history. But the story of Student Homophile League doesn't end there. My opinion, there are many tales of courage and resilience and determination that I know for a fact, like I said, if you, once I get everything settled with the Patreon, I could make this an exclusive episode to where we can unfold that a little bit more later down the road. Because I think kind of being one of the very first organizations to support LGBTQ plus students in an academic institution is huge. And like I said, it's only 2024 now, so if you think about 1967, that's not that far along at all. So, with that, I want to bring light to the progress made, the challenges that's been faced, and the victories that we celebrated with this group at Columbia University. So with that, replay this episode. Just take it all in again. Do your research on the Student Homophile League at Columbia University in 1967. Great read, I promise you. Like I said, it'll talk about a lot that we, little do we know, as students who used to be, well, not used to be, students who are LGBTQ plus who attend that university during that time frame and what that was like for them. So with that, that's it for today's episode. Thank you all for joining us. We look forward to welcoming you back next time. If you have not already, you can follow the Transition Plan on IG and Twitter at the Transition Plan, no asterisks, of course. If you'd like to follow the host, me, you can follow me at Mario World. That is MARIISWRLD. And our website is up right now, so you can actually look us up on the internet too at www.translessonplan.com. I'll provide all the links to all our social medias and stuff in the description of this episode. But until then, remember, every step towards acceptance and equality is a step worth celebrating. So I hope you all have a great rest of your day, and I will see you all in 2 weeks. Thank you all for listening.